Rawlins knew what they meant. He spat out a low curse, lifting his gun to a ready position, and we rushed forward to the room, side by side. The murk began to do more than simply drag at me when I hit the doorway. The air almost seemed to congeal into a kind of gelatin, and it suddenly became a fight to keep my legs moving forward. I snarled in sudden frustration and transformed it into more will that I sent coursing down through my silver pentacle amulet. The soft radiance emanating from the symbol became a white and cobalt floodlight, driving back the gloom, burning it from my path. It left the large room still coated in shadow, but it was no longer the total occlusion of the magical murk. It was a long room, about 60 feet, maybe half that wide. At the far end of the room was a very large projection screen. Chairs faced it in two columns. At one point in the aisle between them, a projector sat, running at such a frantic speed that smoke was rising from the reels of celluloid. The projected movie still appeared clearly on the screen, in a frantic, fast-motion blur of faces and images from a classic horror film from the early 80s. The soundtrack could only be heard as a single, long, piercing howl. There were still about 20 people in the room. Immediately beside the door was an old woman, curled on her side on the ground, sobbing in pain. Nearby, a wheelchair lay overturned, and a man with braces of some kind on his legs and hips had fallen into an awkward, painful-looking sprawl from which he could not arise. One of his arms was visibly broken, bone pushing its skin. Other people cringed against the walls and beneath chairs. When my wizard light flooded the place, they got up and started staggering away, still screaming in horror. Straight ahead of me were bodies and blood. I couldn't see much of them. 3 people were down. There was a lot of blood around. A 4th person, a young woman, crawled toward the door, making frantic, mewling sounds. A man stood over her. He was nearly 7 feet tall and so thick with slabs of muscle that he almost seemed deformed. Not pretty bodybuilder muscle either, but the thick, dull slabs that come from endless physical labor. He wore overalls, a blue shirt, and a hockey mask, and there was a long, curved sickle in his right hand. As I watched, he took a pair of long steps forward, seized the whimpering girl by her hair, and jerked her body into a backward bow. He raised the sickle in his right hand. Rawlins didn't bother to offer him a chance to surrender. He took a stance not 10 feet away, aimed, and put 3 shots into the masked maniac's head. The man jerked, twisting a bit, and released the girl's hair abruptly, tossing her aside with a terrible, casual strength. She hit a row of chairs and let out a cry of pain. Then the maniac turned toward Rawlins, and even though the mask hid his features, the tilt of his head and the tension of his posture showed that he was furious. He went toward Rawlins. The cop shot him 4 more times, flashes of bright white burning the image of the maniac and the room onto my eyes. He brought the sickle down on Rawlins. The cop managed to catch the force of it upon his long flashlight. Sparks flew from the steel case, but the light held. The maniac twisted the sickle so that the tip plowed a furrow across Rawlins's forearm. The cop snarled. The flashlight spun to the ground. The maniac raised the sickle again. I braced myself, raised my staff and my will, and cried,
"Fozari!"
Unseen power lashed from my staff, pure kinetic energy that ripped through the air and hit the maniac like a wrecking ball. The blow drove him back down the aisle through the air. He hit the projector on its stand. It shattered. He went through it without slowing down. He kept going, the flight of his passage tearing through the large projection screen and hit the back wall with a thunderous impact. I sagged in sudden exhaustion. The effort of the spell, an enormous drain on me, and had to plant my staff on the ground to keep from falling over. My headache flared up with a vengeance, and the light of my amulet and staff both faded. There were a few more screams, the quick, light sound of frightened feet, and I whirled. I saw someone flee the room from the corner of my eye, but I didn't get much of a look at them. A second later, the room returned to normal, The lights back, the broken projector still spinning one reel at reduced speed, a loose tongue of film slap, slap, slapping the broken casing.